Yes. Welcome back to another episode of the In My Own Words podcast, where the opinions are unfiltered, unabashed, and unashamed. I'm your host, Tony R. Sanders. Let me hit the round of applause button for me. Sometimes you got to give it up for yourself. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to give it up for yourself. This is going to be a good episode. You know why? Because I have a lineup for you that I want to discuss. And I think we're going to do it in segments. We're going to do it in layers because there's a lot to get to. And I don't want to hit you all with it at once, but I will give you a preview to what we're going to talk about. And matter of fact, I have theme music. I have theme music for this episode because I think this is super important. We need to talk about what I like to call clout clowns. It's a new phrase I'm throwing at you. We need to define it, but I want to talk to you about clout clowns. Now, a clout clown is someone who, just like the phrase says, is clowning for clout. Someone who is giving or seeking attention so bad that they go to the extremes of clownisms. They go to the extreme ends of clownery to get this attention. So we're going to talk about clout clowns, but this has to be the clout clown national anthem right here. Now, and it's a shame too, because this is a really good song, but they turned it into the clout clown national anthem. Let me play it for you. Let me give you a snippet. I'm sitting here reminiscing. Now, you gotta love the soul sample. You gotta love the vocals over it. But if you don't know, there is a beef going on. And I put beef in air quotes if you're not watching this. It's a beef going on between Eminem and Nick Cannon. Yes, Eminem and Nick Cannon. Now, how can two people beef that don't really do the same thing? Like, Eminem really raps. Nick Cannon is, I don't even know how you can classify Nick Cannon. He is a TV show host, which I think most people know him from, right? Masked Singer, America's Got Talent before that, Wildin' Out. What else has Nick Cannon done? He's hosted some things. Some people may know him as an actor, maybe. I don't know, Drumline, Love Don't Cost a Thing. Very few people know him as a rapper. It's not the guy. Oh, yeah, that's the guy that did Gigolo. Said no one ever, right? Very few people. And I would say probably more than a rapper. People don't know him as a comedian either. But I will tell you, Nick Cannon is all of those things. But above all else, Nick Cannon is a businessman. And I think this whole beef is a business move. Now, I'll give you a little bit of history on the beef. At least this version of it, because it's been going on for a while. But that is the Clout Clown National Anthem. And we got to decide on this one. Between Eminem and Nick Cannon, who do you think is the Clout Clown? If you're watching this on YouTube, drop in the comments which one you think is the Clout Clown. I'm going to lay it out for you. Now listen, they have a woman in common, which is how all bad stories start. Anytime there's a bad story that starts, it starts with a woman in common. Now, I'm not saying that women are starting this. I'm not saying that the women are purveyors of messiness. I wanted to use purveyors all week. I don't know why. I'm not saying that it's the women's fault. I'm just saying when women are involved, when there's a common woman involved between men, there's going to be some issues. I could take you through the history. I could take you through the Drake and Common beef. There was a woman involved. There was a woman involved, allegedly, with the Drake and Pusha T beef. There's a woman involved with the Biggie and Tupac beef. Like, there's always, always, always a common woman involved. So in this case, the common woman involved happens to be a superstar, someone who we all know and love, the Queen, Mariah Carey. Matter of fact, let me give a round of applause for Mariah Carey. Now, I don't know what it is that she does to make these men go crazy and to make them fight over each other after, like, here's the crazy thing. They're fighting over her and neither one of them have her. Now, to Nick's credit, Nick did marry her. Nick did have babies with her. That is his baby mama. So it makes sense for him to talk about it. But Eminem, and this is where maybe the scales tip a little bit towards Eminem being the clout clown in the situation, because Eminem has no reason to talk about her. But I will say this. On T.I.'s podcast, Expeditiously, maybe a month ago, I would say, Nick Cannon was on there, maybe even longer ago than that. I stopped listening to the podcast because there's way too many ads for me. And I don't want to hear T.I. say, get your Expeditiously merch. I don't want to hear that no more. I'm tired of hearing all the ads. I just stop listening to it. I'll catch the clips when it comes up. And if something really draws me in, if they have someone on there that I'm like over the hills about that I really want to see, I'll tune back in. But way, way, way too many ads for me. But anyway, Nick Cannon is on there. And T.I. asked Nick about Eminem because they were going to battle before. They were going through some back and forths. And Nick really wanted to battle Eminem. And so they're just talking about something that both parties should be over. And I thought they were until I heard the clown, the clout clown, if I could say it, the clout clown national anthem on Fat Joe's album. Now, I want to do a two-word album review on Fat Joe's album because I think it's incredible, but I haven't gotten there yet. I've only listened to it twice. I need to listen to it some more before I give it a full review. But I would say one of the standout songs from a pop culture standpoint was this song featuring Eminem called Lord Above, and it also features Mary J. Blige. The reason why it ended up being one of the standout records is because Eminem got on here and started being messy. He started out his verse taking shots at Nick and Mariah Carey. Now, I am to assume, based on his lyrics, after he goes on this short little stint about Nick and Mariah, and then he says, I need to stop watching news clips, I assume that he saw a clip of T.I. and Nick Cannon's interview on T.I.'s podcast. And so that spawned him into becoming this guy that jumps on the record and talks about Nick Cannon for his whole verse. How is Nick Cannon important enough for you to dedicate a whole verse? Now, here's the big problem. Eminem's rapping is so good. As a matter of fact, his rapping on this verse, this song, is probably the best rapping I've heard from Eminem in years, including the Machine Gun Kelly beef, including Kamikaze record, including whatever trash album he did before that. I can't remember it. It was forgettable, obviously. It's some of the best rapping that he did in years, but he's clouding it with clout. And so if you ask me which one in this situation is being the clout clown, I will say it's 1,000% Marshall Mathers, 1,000% Eminem. And here's why. Eminem, like some other artists that we should talk about at some point, has built an entire career off of being a clout clown. This is why Eminem needs to come out of your top five. If Eminem is in your top five rappers of all time, he needs to come out. Here's one reason: content. His content has always been clout clown-ish. Think about it. Think about the people he's going after in his lyrics. Think about the people that he's talked about. Think about the ways that he's talked about them. He's always going after the biggest, the best, the hottest at the time, whoever's getting the most attention, so he can feed off that attention and give himself some notoriety. Now, here's the crazy part. Eminem doesn't need to do that. Eminem is actually talented enough on his own and skilled enough. He's probably one of the most skilled rappers we've ever seen, excluding Nobody. He's probably the most skilled rapper we've ever seen. He gets a lot of points for that. He gets a lot of points for popularity, right? But when it comes to the content of his songs, he's going after Michael Jackson, right? He's going after Mariah Carey, now Nick Cannon, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera. You noticing a theme here? All of those people that I named, with the exception of Nick Cannon, is white. I know you're thinking, Michael Jackson ain't white. Yes, he is. He wasn't born that way, but by the time he ended, Michael Jackson identified as a white woman, and y'all never gave him his credit. Michael Jackson, y'all gave all of this credit to Bruce, okay? I'm not going to get too deep into this. Y'all gave all of this credit to Bruce when really Michael Jackson was, you know, the first transgender woman. He went from being a black male to a white woman, and y'all never gave him his credit, but we're going to leave that all alone. So Eminem has made a career off clout chasing. He is 1,000% a clout clown. And he has made the Clout Clown National Anthem with Fat Joe overshadow how amazing the project is. No one's talking about how incredible Fat Joe's project is. No one's talking about how well Fat Joe is rapping. And he's talking about this may be his last album. You know, last year, Swiss Beatz put out an album, and there was a song on there, I think, I forgot who it featured. It featured a legend, Jay-Z, Nas, somebody. and maybe even a combination. And he decided to not put it out on his album because he didn't want that moment that he knew it would have created to overshadow the greatness of the album. And I could not understand that. I'm thinking that is so backwards, right? When you're creating something, you want that spectacle. You want to create a moment that is so big that people have to go see the whole project, right? I think about Kendrick's Control verse. So big that everybody's saying, they're talking about it, it's the talk of the town. They know what's on your album, so now they have to go visit the album. Right now, I can't tell you what album Control was on or whose song it was. I think it may have been Big Sean's song. And I'm a Big Sean fan. Can't tell you what album it was on. Now I'm seeing this whole thing play out with Fat Joe. He has this album with Dre from Kool & Dre called Family Ties. It's an incredible album. May even potentially be a classic one day. But right now it's being completely overshadowed because he decided to feature a clout clown who gave him a clout moment. Now, I'm not blaming Fat Joe for that. I'm thanking Fat Joe for this moment to pull it together like this. And I think there's only certain people that could really get Eminem to rap. And if you look at M's history with Fat Joe and the Terror Squad, what the Lean Back remix, M smoked that too. So I think when he gets with Joe, he knows he needs to rap. And so I love that Joe grabbed him for this moment because I'm an Eminem fan. We haven't heard Eminem rap in a long time. But when we look at this beef, it's just Eminem clout chasing. And of course, Nick Cannon, being the businessman that he is, he's going to go back at him. Now, there are people criticizing Nick for his raps. Number one, Nick didn't ask for this. Nick wasn't being the clout clown in this situation. Marshall was. Marshall sounds like a clown name. He's been doing clown things. Number two, Nick Cannon knows that he can't out-rap Eminem. It's impossible. Like, let's just be honest. The guy made Gigolo. He's not going to out-rap the guy that did the verse on Renegade. It's not going to happen. You can't take the guy that made Gigolo and put him against the guy that made Stan. It's never going to be a fair fight. And he's pulling in battle rappers who are notoriously bad for making bad songs. See Cassidy. See everybody he had listed on there, a.k.a. the Black Squad. I've never heard a good Charlie Clip song. I've never heard a good Conceited song. I've never heard a good Hitman Holla song. I love Loaded Lux. He's got some, but I've never heard a great Lux song. So what I believe Nick Cannon is doing is using all of this for promo. And I don't want to say bait because I think Eminem is playing into it as well. But for a reason to make this into a bigger play, a reason to pull Eminem onto that Wildin' Out stage, which he's been trying to get him on Wildin' Out for a while. He even said it, I believe, in the T.I. interview that he's been trying to get Eminem on Wildin' Out, and I think that's what this is a play for. It's a play to get him on Wildin' Out, which what? What does that do for Nick? It makes him more money. It brings more popularity to his show. Unlike an album, you could have a show create this big, big moment, and it works for you in a positive way because now you pull in fans that maybe you wouldn't have pulled in before. They watch that show. They binge watch some of the other shows going back, seeing the format, liking the style of the show. Sure, some of them are going to fall off, but most of them, a good portion of them will stay. And now you've just increased your fan base. We talked about this a while, right? A lot. It always comes up on the podcast, the spectacle marketing. Eminem can create a huge spectacle for Wildin' Out. I haven't watched Wildin' Out episode in a long, 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 long time. I always catch the clips on YouTube. But if Eminem goes on there, I'm going to be front and center like pay-per-view. And I know y'all would be too. And so I think that's more so what Nick Cannon is trying to do. That's the win for him in this situation. It's more so about him attempting to create the spectacle around the show that he owns that drives his revenue, that brings him money that'll create more traction and more attention. Not that they need it, right? They have Wildin' Out restaurants. They have the Wildin' Out tour. And obviously, they're making music, which is why he put the Black Squad as a feature on there. But who doesn't want to be better? Who doesn't want to do more numbers? Who doesn't want to raise the bar a little bit more? And so when it comes to the Eminem battle, Nick Cannon, you guys could discuss who won. I see people saying this is the only battle that Eminem has won without responding. Ha ha ha, I get it. But I think the win for Nick is to get Eminem on Wildin' Out. And the win for him is he's doing what he's done his whole career, being a complete clout Clown. More on Cloud Clowns in a second. Now we got to get to the holidays because it is Christmas season. Merry Christmas early, everybody. It is still Christmas shopping season. I tell you this, I'm going to say this softly because my family is upstairs. I haven't bought one Christmas gift yet. If you look around my place right now, which you should be able to see the majority of this room, this is the room where we put the Christmas tree. It is 11 days to Christmas. It's my 7-year-old reminded me this morning, and we don't have a Christmas tree up. I'm going to handle that today as soon as I get done recording this podcast. Matter of fact, by the time you're listening to this, don't worry. We have a Christmas tree, but not yet. So since it's Christmas time, it's the holiday season, we got to start talking about Christmas movies because I do plan to watch a Christmas movie with my family later today. Now, instead of just giving you my favorite Christmas movies, my top 5 Christmas movies, which I'll do, I'm going to flip it a little bit. I'm going to give you the top Christmas movies I've never seen. And when I say never seen, I mean never seen. It's some movies that I haven't seen, but I feel like I've seen them because everybody talks about them so much. They quote the line so much. I will say, what's the movie with Jordan Peele? The first one that he did with the lady tapping the tea glass. What's the name of this movie? Get Out. I haven't seen Get Out. People say, oh, it's a psychological thriller about race in America. And I said, look, I live that every day. It's people right now, every day, looking at me, tapping a teacup, trying to get me into trance, trying to suck the life out of me. To be a black man in America is a psychological thriller. I don't need to see the Get Out. But it also feels like I have seen it based on all the conversations I've heard about it and so much dialogue. And so this is a little bit different. These movies are normally only popular one time per year, and so I haven't seen them. I haven't heard much about them. If you've quoted a line from it, it was so non-iconic that I didn't even know that that's what you were doing. So I'm going to give you my list. I'm ready for the slander, too. Hit me in the comments with the slander. I already know what's going to happen with this. But nonetheless, here's my list. I'm standing on mine. It's the In My Own Words podcast. I give it to you real, just like it's coming from me. Number one, Elf. Have not seen Elf. I couldn't tell you what it's about. I think Will Ferrell was in it. I think I may have seen a picture or a screenshot with Will Ferrell and Faison Love in it, which I actually like both of those people. I just haven't seen this movie. I don't know what I was doing when it came out. I don't know when it came out. I don't know how I missed it. I don't know why I didn't go to see it. Talladega Nights is one of my favorite movies that has Will Ferrell in it. I just watched a really, really bad movie with Will Ferrell this week. With my wife for date night. It was called Drunk Parents. This movie had Alec Baldwin, Selma Hayek, and Will Ferrell in it, and Jim Gaffigan, and it was a horrible movie. Not a movie we would ever watch again, and it was a lot of bad acting and just a really, really bad movie. But anyway, number one is Elf. I don't think that's too bad, but it's probably bad. Number two, this one's bad. I can already feel the heat coming from this one, but I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I haven't seen it. A Christmas Story. Have not seen it. I know it's a really classic movie. I know it's something that everybody watches. People quote things from it. People are excited when it comes on TV. I remember being at a house while they were watching it, and I went into the other room to do something better with my life. I don't know what it was. I probably was playing Grand Theft Auto or something in the basement with my cousin. But I have never seen A Christmas Story. Couldn't tell you what it was about. The only thing I can kind of picture in my mind is I think a scene where there's a group of people surrounding a kid and he's about to lick a pole or something. That may even be Dumb and Dumber. I don't even know. Haven't seen that one. Number three, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I haven't seen any of the National Lampoon's series. None of them. And I like Chevy Chase, who I think stars in that movie. I like Chevy Chase in the why am I blanking on this movie? The golf movie with Rodney Dangerfield. What's the name of this movie? You know what? I'm not on a time crunch here. It's my podcast. I do what I want. Let me look up Chevy Chase movies. This movie is iconic. It's the movie that he's most known for, as far as I'm concerned. And I can't think of the name of the movie. I could be getting this all mixed up. Chevy Chase. Caddyshack. Oh, my goodness. Caddyshack is the movie I was thinking about. I've seen Caddyshack. I love Caddyshack. I don't have a problem with Chevy Chase. Let me see what else he's in that I've seen. None of the Vacation joints. I haven't seen any of the Vacation joints. Let's see. That is every movie a Vacation movie? I obviously see them on Saturday Night Live. Man of the House. I watched that the early 90s, mid 90s. Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I think I've seen every Jonathan Taylor Thomas movie, by the way. Yeah, so I'm a fan of Chevy Chase, but I just have not seen that movie. And, you know, I don't even know. Do I need to see that movie? I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Number four, Bad Santa. Bad Santa is another movie that I haven't seen. I don't even know who stars in that movie. I think Bad Santa is a movie that has Bernie Mac in it, if I'm not mistaken. I could very well be mistaken. Let me look up the cast of Bad Santa. It looks like it is a dramedy. Okay, Billy Bob Thornton, Laura Graham, Bernie Mac, Octavia Spencer, Lauren Tom, Billy Garwell, Ethan Phil. I don't have a problem with any of these people. Tony Cox is in it. It already seems like a funny movie. You got Tony Cox and you got Bernie Mac. And I like Billy Bob Thornton. I think he's a pretty cool guy. He plays Willie in the movie. Yeah, I haven't seen that movie. I don't know why. It seems like a movie that I may enjoy, but I haven't seen it. And here's another one. Now, this movie is controversial for a bunch of different reasons. Number one, I don't think it's a Christmas movie, but I understand why it is, because it happens around Christmas time. It is a very, very popular movie by a person who I actually enjoy their movies, but I haven't seen this one. I'm stalling. But here it is. Die Hard. Boom. Drop the bomb. Haven't seen Die Hard. I've seen Fifth Element 17 times. Haven't seen Die Hard once. And I don't even know. I guess it's a Christmas movie because it happens around Christmas and around Christmas time, which, you know, if that's the criteria, then I understand. But I don't even know this movie. Matter of fact, let me see when this movie came out. This movie came out in 1988. Okay, that's one. Y'all got to give me a pass. This movie, let me make sure I'm reading that right. This movie came out in 1988. I came out in 1987. This movie came out in 1988. Okay. This is a movie about New York City policeman John McClane, played by Bruce Willis. He's visiting his estranged wife and two daughters on Christmas Eve, which qualifies it as a Christmas movie now. He joins her at a holiday party in the headquarters of the Japanese-owned business she works for, but the festivities are interrupted. I want to be the person that writes this stuff. The festivities are interrupted. I like that. Interrupted by a group of terrorists who take over exclusive hire. Okay, now I don't need to see Die Hard. I'm cool on Die Hard. But those are my top five most famous Christmas movies that I've never seen. You got Elf, A Christmas Story, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Bad Santa, and Die Hard. Now we're gonna talk about another clout clown, and then we'll come back to the top five movies that I have seen. Now this one is I gotta do this one for the new age people. There is a guy, he goes by Plain Potatoes. Maybe you've heard of him. If not, let me give you a little refresher or maybe an introduction to who Plain Potatoes is. He's one of these internet Instagram prank guys. You ever see these prank videos and you wonder, like, are people this crazy to actually go pull off this prank, or are the other people in on it too, right? Now, I've seen some of his videos before. There was one that I'm not going to play because it's not the right content for this channel. Let me just say it that way. It's a little out there. But I thought for sure that this guy and this girl and the other girl who he calls Wanda Sykes, which I think is hilarious, I thought they were all in on it, right? And so I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was funny. It was a sketch that someone did. And then I saw this one as well. It's about 2 minutes long. I don't think I'll play the whole thing. But let's look at Plain Potatoes. This kind of stuff he does if you're not familiar. All right, so he's at a restaurant. He looks like he's pouring.
You're disrupting me. Oh, my God. Can you get this man?
Look like he was pouring Gatorade into his noodles.
Tell him to leave me alone. Who did your braids? You know what? We'll get back to that later. You look like Tony Hawk.
He's basically sitting at a restaurant, just harassing people.
Why don't you leave me alone?
And now, huh? You know what? You know what I love? You know what I love about white people? White people are good Samaritans. White people are good Samaritans. See, black people, we're good people, but we can't afford to be good Samaritans. We can't afford to be putting our nose in someone else's business. When we leave the house, the first thing that we think about once we leave the house is how we can get back to the house safe. And the number one way to get back to the house safe is to keep your nose out of other people's business. Mind your business is the mantra of the black community. So we can't afford to be good Samaritans because there's too many situations where things could get escalated, the police could be involved, and now we don't make it back home. But see, white people, they are good Samaritans. They will step in when something is not going the way that it should. They will step in and say, hey, buddy, you leave him alone. You let him enjoy his noodles to himself. I would have said nothing. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I would have said nothing. Maybe I would have just left. I would have just paid and left and got out of there because I don't have time to get in other folks' business. I'm trying to make it back to the house. But anyway, he's harassing these people in this restaurant. Let's watch some more.
If a breeze blew in here right now, I think you would break in half. You need to, just eat some noodles or something, gain some weight.
Don't insult her, please.
Huh?
Don't insult her.
Stop it. Stop.
You stop it.
Who's your dentist? That's who's really ruining this night.
Well, then you are free to go somewhere else.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so anyway, you get the point. He goes around, he harasses people, he does these pranks, he puts them on camera, he puts them in really uncomfortable situations, and then he records them, and then he talks about them, he jokes on them. It's almost like a roast, but on strangers. Now, here's the problem with all of this. All of this is fine and well if it's a setup and it's a sketch and you're doing it to be funny. When it gets to a point where you're not setting this up, it's not a sketch, and you're not doing it to be funny, you're actually harassing people, that's when it becomes a problem. Because get this, kids, Instagram is just Instagram, but Instagram is also real life. The things that you do on Instagram could have an effect on your actual life. You can't just go around harassing people and putting it on camera. Think about that for a second. Most criminals would try to avoid cameras. But see, these clout clown criminals, they are so stupid and so hungry and addicted to clout. See, that's what we need to talk about. There's a clout addiction in America. They're so addicted to clout that they're performing crimes and recording it themselves and publishing, hitting share, hitting tweet, hitting upload themselves, sharing video evidence of them doing crimes. What type of defense could you have? Johnny Cochran couldn't get you out of that. Once you're on camera, showing your face, showing selfie mode, showing yourself commit a crime, it's going to come back and get you. You're going to get way more clout and more attention than you bargained for. You're actually going to get what criminals get, which is a sentence. And that's exactly what plain potatoes got. The headline from Fox 5 News says, disgusting harassment. Baltimore's plain potatoes is charged. Let me get to the good part. Baltimore County Councilman Eric Costello said that Carter, that's his real last name, Markel Anthony Carter, faces 21 sets of charges, including harassment and trespassing. He noted he has not yet been arrested. That was in February. Quick update to the story at the bottom. He has been arrested. He is facing jail time now. 21 charges for clout. If that ain't clown-ish, I don't know what is. Why are these people addicted to clout so bad? Why do you need attention so bad? And why can't you separate real life from fiction? It's okay. It would have been just as funny if you had hired some actors like professionals do. Did this whole skit, recorded the whole thing, do it in selfie mode just like you did, but everybody's in on the joke. That would have been just as funny as it was with you going out there doing it alone. And there's a million different ways to do that. You know what a sitcom is? You know what reality TV is? Reality TV is just that. It's a setup. I can't wait till Love and Hip Hop comes back on. Look, I'm saved, but I like reality TV. Okay, I'm just going to be honest. I like my reality TV. I watch every episode of Jersey Shore there is. All right? I was sitting at home, fist bumping right there with him. I was sad when Mike went to prison. I remember Sammy Sweetheart being on the show. I laughed every time Dina got fallout drunk. I laughed every time Snicky got. I watch reality TV. I've watched every episode of Love and Hip Hop New York, I believe. So when that comes back, I'm going to be all over it. But all it is a setup. It's a setup. It's all fake. They're all in cahoots. It's another word. Yeah, we got cahoots and purveyors. This is an excellent episode. They're all in cahoots. It's all scripted, non-scripted reality. You could have did the same thing, but no, you had to go out here and be a clout clown. And for that, you get charged. You get charged. Now he's facing 21 charges with video evidence that he recorded himself, self-snitching, self-reporting, and now you have to deal with that situation. You have to deal with those consequences. And so I need to give you a
wow.
A wow award.
Oh my God.
For being a clout clown. Wow. I think I have to give that to Eminem as well.
Oh my God.
At least Eminem is doing it in a way that's not criminal. At least he's doing it in a way that he won't be facing any charges. He's built a career off of this. You can find a way to build a career that keeps you out of jail, keeps you out of trouble, and keeps some money in your pocket out of clout. Go ahead. I'm still going to call you a clout clown, but go ahead. You can do whatever you want to do. All right. Back to the holidays. You guys ready for my top five Christmas movies of all time? Top five Christmas movies of all time. Now, I'm going to be honest. I have five on the notes on my phone. But looking at this list, I may have to add one in. I think I may have forgotten one that's really important to me. Let me check this list again. Because I just thought of a Christmas movie that is a Christmas movie that I didn't think. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you my five because I don't think that movie will crack my five. But I'm going to give you an honorable mention. All right? So here's my five. Number one, The Grinch That Stole Christmas. That is one of my favorite Christmas movies. Not the original 1960s version. I'm talking about the Jim Carrey Grinch. I love that movie. I could watch that movie at any time. It's hilarious. Jim Carrey is hilarious. Wonderful comedian. The Grinch That Stole Christmas. All the Who's. I see people that look like Who's now, and I think about that movie every single time. I'm like, man, I wonder if they just casted the people who really look like Who's, or is that makeup? Because I've seen some. I went to never mind. I was gonna say I went to school with a Who girl. I saw her at the grocery store the other day. She still looked like a Who, just an adult Who now. She looked like a Who with, you know, she's just not wearing a ponytail no more. Okay, The Santa Claus, the first one, Tim Allen. I love Tim Allen. I grew up on Home Improvement. That's why I watch every Jonathan Taylor Thomas movie that exists. Although I'll Be Home for Christmas did not make my list. It is on there. Some other Tim Allen movies around Christmas. Christmas with the Cranks. I thought that was good. It actually had the mom. I can't think of her name right now. From Home Improvement. His wife from Home Improvement. They went and did that movie. I think they did two of those movies. So shout out to Tim Allen. He's a great actor. I like him in Wild Hogs. That's the last thing I've seen him do, actually. No, he has a TV show. What's the name of his TV show where he's like a vlogger and a business owner? Last Man Standing. Yeah, so I like that as well. So that's number two, The Santa Claus. Number three, Jingle All the Way. You got Arnold Schwarzenegger. You got Tom Arnold. You got Sinbad in the movie, all playing very great pivotal roles in the movie. I don't care that Arnold Schwarzenegger can't talk or act. The movie's wonderful. I like a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Even Last Action Hero, I can watch. Of course, you got the RoboCops and your Terminators and all of that kind of stuff as well. But I like Schwarzenegger. I can watch that movie. And Jingle All the Way is a great movie. It's on HBO right now, so you should check it out. Let's see. Number four, Enemy of the State. Think about it. Enemy of the State with Will Smith and Gene Hackman is a wonderful movie, and it's a Christmas movie. If you look at the opening scenes when he's buying lingerie for his wife, he is in a store, a lingerie store, and they have Christmas trees up in the store. It's centered around Christmas time. Look, if y'all can have Die Hard, I can have Enemy of the State, okay? I'm putting in Enemy of the State as a Christmas movie, and it's cracking my top five because it's a Will Smith movie, and Will Smith is great. He don't make bad movies, not even Wild Wild West. Who also had Selma Hayek. Maybe Selma Hayek makes bad movies. I'm trying to think of a good movie Selma Hayek has been in. Oh, you know what? She was in Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2. And I think both of those movies are good movies. I take it back, Selma. Stupid movies, but good movies. Okay, and then coming in at number one. You guessed it. How can I make a list without this? Home Alone 1 and 2 and 3. Okay. All the Home Alones, except for number four. I'm not feeling the Smart House Home Alone. I don't want to rock with that one. But Home Alone 1, 2, and 3 are classic movies. Let me break it down to you. We all know Home Alone 1 and 2 are classics. Home Alone 1 is, you know, I left my kid at home. He overslept. He didn't catch the flight. We all know that movie, right? That's a classic movie. That's when we got introduced to Kevin McAllister, Macaulay Culkin, right? He was great. Wonderful performance from him in that movie. Iconic performance. Then we go to Home Alone 2. I thought Home Alone 2 was better than the original. Now, they're both classics. You can watch either one of them independently of each other. I think that Joe Pesci is just incredible. A lot of our generation, we know that Joe Pesci, and then we know maybe the ones that are a little bit older, we know Goodfellas Joe Pesci and Casino Joe Pesci. But this Joe Pesci was our Joe Pesci, right? And so the performances in that movie I thought were incredible. That was, if the first one was I lost my flight, or I missed my flight, the second one was I got my wrong flight, right? Because they were going to like Miami and he went to New York. And so that was great. Then Macaulay Culkin's done with the series for whatever reasons, right? He's not a kid anymore. He's a teenager. I saw a theory on Twitter that he still could have played teenage Kevin McAllister, who was working a job on his winter break, and they show up to his job. It was a great, great plot to a movie. I thought it could have worked, but obviously we're way past that point at this time. So, but the third one, I don't remember the kid's name, but he did a really, really good job at playing the Home Alone character. I know people didn't want to see it because Macaulay Culkin wasn't involved. You had new criminals, but him with the bird, I thought was really funny. The gags that he was doing with the remote control car, I thought was really funny. You should give Home Alone 3 a chance. Home Alone 4 can be dismissed. We can act like that never happened. We can put that on a shelf right next to all of the other bad sequels. We can take that and the second Lion King, put that over there. We can take Grease 2 and put that over there with them and just sit in the section of bad sequels. We can put all of those over there. But the first three Home Alones, those are classics. And then my honorable mention, the one that I forgot that was a Christmas movie or happened around Christmas time, was Family Man. With Nick Cage and Don Cheadle. I can't think of the wife's name right now. Family Man, it is an amazing movie to me. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, I would classify that as a Christmas movie because it does happen around Christmas time. Christmas is mentioned. And so I would give that as a Christmas movie as well. So that would be my top five plus an honorable mention, adding in Family Man. All right. Let's see what else we got on the list here. But of course, we got to talk about our third and final clout clown. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present to you and the jury, Lizzo. It's a touchy subject for some people. I don't know why. I do know why. I'm lying. Listen, man, it don't have nothing to do with Lizzo being fat. That was just flat out inappropriate. Now, Lizzo, she's plump. She got a lot of love to give, and that's not the problem. The problem is when you expose all of that love at once and they put it on the jumbotron, that's a lot for people. Let's just call it what it is. That's a lot for people. That's a lot for people to digest and take in all at once. See, when you got that much love to give, Lizzo, you got to ration it out. You got to give here a little and there a little. But Lizzo is undoubtedly, she may be the queen of clout clowns. I can't think of anybody that chases clout more than Lizzo. Now, if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, let me give you a little bit of a breakdown. Lizzo went to the Lakers game at the Staples Center with a t-shirt that she brought from the big and tall section at Target. She cut the back out of it. And had a thong on and just was, you know, just had her cheeks exposed to the world at the Laker game. She had a video on social media where a friend recorded her walking into Staples Center. And then they played her song. The Laker girls were dancing to her song and she got up and exposed her butt cheeks to the entire arena. And they put it on a jumbotron. And so, of course, everybody's going mad about this on social media and saying that this isn't allowed. And then the backlash to the backlash comes and says, well, what if Rihanna did this? We would be happy if Rihanna did this. We're just going to be honest. Yeah, more people are going to appeal to that than this. Let's just be honest. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're a big girl, you can't love your body and be positive. But I will tell you this. Nobody should be at the Laker game looking like that. No one should be out in public looking like that. I don't want to see none of it. I don't care who did it. I don't care who did it. And listen, it's at the Lakers game, okay? They're going to show this all over everything. I don't want to have to explain to my son or my daughter why Lizzo is doing what she's doing. Some conversations you just want to avoid. So Lizzo goes to the Laker game. She has her cheeks out, exposed the whole time. I don't know how long she stayed. But apparently, after the game, Lizzo took a DNA test and found out that she 100% got herpes from the chair she sat in. I'm saying, come on, man. It's just ridiculous. By the way, Lizzo did this before. If you look at her Twitter, this earlier this year, she did the same exact thing, except she was twerking at Jack in the Box. The lady, sweet lady there, just trying to take her order, trying to put some meat between some buns, and she has to be exposed to Lizzo's buns, twerking in a thong, just naked, you know. And there's a difference. Do I want to say this or not? Let me see. Podcast almost over. Well, I'm just going to say it. There's a difference between having a big booty and having a big booty, okay? Sometimes the booty is just big because the human is big. Is that a nice way to say that? I don't know. That's the best way I could think of saying it right now. Tune in next week. I may say it a little bit differently. Who knows? But there's a difference between having a big booty and having a big booty. You know what I'm saying? I guess some women have the, you know, let me give you a few signs between a big booty and a big booty. See, a big booty normally aligns itself with the back, okay? There's normally symmetry between the back and the booty, okay? Now, a big booty, it's going to roll out and curve from the back, okay? I'm just giving you the science. It's going to curve out from the back. It's like it's going to leave the back for a second and then come right back to the thighs. That's the difference between the two. If the back and the booty are in symmetry, that is not a big booty. That's just a big booty. You feel what I'm saying? You feel what I'm saying? There's a definite difference. Even Lizzo's thong was trying to get away from it. When she turned around and twerked, you see the thong like, mm-mm. Even her thong was trying to run away from her. All I'm saying is this. Lizzo is seeking so much attention. And it's a shame because from what I've heard from her music, it sounds really good. Are we really in a day and time where being a clout clown is the only way to survive? Now, I'm not talking about the legends, right? The legends are the legends. Jay-Z can drop a surprise album tomorrow with his wife and his kid doing it, and everybody's going to buy it, right? There's a lot of people that could do a lot of things. But in order to cut through, in order to garner some attention to the work that you're doing, do you have to be a clout clown? It's one thing, and I think this may be what's happening with Lizzo. I'm gonna shoot her some bail real quick, right? Especially since I just talked about her booty like that. If it's in symmetry with the back, we ain't talking about nothing. But are we at a position in, you know, where maybe if you're Lizzo, you've done these things to try to garner attention, to cut through when people weren't giving you attention? Right, maybe you had to do some of these things that were ridiculous or create a spectacle to get attention, and it worked for you, right? I was thinking about this last week before I got sick. I was thinking about coming on and talking about child stars and the reason why child stars seemingly go crazy at a certain point, right? Because as you're growing and you're small, you're just trying stuff, right? And it just so happens for Lizzo that the ridiculousness that she was trying worked for her. And then you start to build an audience around that. And now your audience doesn't want to see you do anything other than the ridiculousness that you came up on. Otherwise, you're a sellout. right? Otherwise, you've changed. You've gone Hollywood on us, right? That's why you see the Jaleel Whites of the world get mad at people still calling him Urkel. Well, that's how we knew you. But for him, he was acting way before Urkel. He was on a TV show and doing film way before Urkel. He just nailed that performance so much that when we see him, we automatically associate it with Urkel. And so now you're stuck in this Urkel box. It could be the case where Lizzo is stuck in this box where she can't lose weight, right? Because being big is a part of her brand that she's planted her flag in. We've seen that happen before. We've seen that with Monique. We've seen that with Big Boy. We've seen that with Lil Terrio. We've seen that with a lot of people before, right? She may be in this box where she feels like she has to expose herself and do the most ridiculous thing, right? Maybe some things that she saw some non-plus size women do. She has to mimic those things and take it a step further because that's what her audience expects from her. I don't know, right? But I'm trying to understand why someone would do something so ridiculous outside of just clout chasing, outside of just being a complete and total clout clown. I'm trying to understand, and it's becoming very, very hard for me. But that's the only thing I can think of is that, you know, you're trying, you're experimenting with something, and something takes off, and now you feel like you have to continue to ride that wave. And so, it's a really important lesson for people to know that are creating content today, right? Whatever you're doing, whatever you're trying, whatever you're experimenting with, when something pops, you feel like you have to continue to do that, right? And when you don't, you risk losing it all. You risk losing your audience. You risk losing the money or the revenue you've been able to generate, the sponsors. But that's why I appreciate the people who immediately try to diversify themselves and do different things. That's why I'm not mad when I hear the Michael B. Jordans of the world saying, I don't want to just do black films. I just want to do film. That's why I'm not mad when I see Chadwick Boseman say a similar thing or say that he agrees with that. I just want to do film, right? Chadwick Boseman has been Thurgood Marshall, James Brown, Jackie Robinson, and Black Panther. Like, I think he's solidified himself as a black actor. He's done all the black, like, who else could he do other than those people that, you know, he had to play Martin Luther King and Malcolm X in the same film, right? Like, he solidified his blackness. So if he wants to go off and do whatever film he's doing right now, I think we should allow him to do that. So thank you guys so much for joining into the In My Own Words podcast. Thank you so much for joining into the In My Own Words podcast, where the opinions are unfiltered, unabashed, and unashamed. Thank you guys so much for joining. Always remember, keep God first, if nothing else, and everything else will fall into place. I'll see you guys next week. Peace.